Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the new year ahead. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. Living the Christian life is sometimes counter to the culture we live in today, but no matter what the circumstances of life, we are to have an attitude that is consistent with our faith in Jesus. Turn with us to the book of Romans chapter 5 for today's message titled Rejoicing in Tribulation. Here's Pastor Brian.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory or rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Paul has just finished his very powerful argument, convincing us that salvation is not obtained through the law, that salvation is by grace alone and through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And now Paul proceeds to tell us about the benefits or the blessings that come to those who are justified by faith. And so he tells us here that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. First blessing, we have peace with God. Then we have access into this grace in which we stand. And then he says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so Paul is telling us that as a result of having believed in Jesus, we have all of these tremendous blessings now, all of these wonderful benefits. We have peace with God. We're no longer in this state of conflict with him. We're no longer in this condition of hostility, but we've been reconciled to him, and now there is that love that's free to flow and that blessing that is directed toward us. And we have access into the grace of God and that unlimited supply of God's mercy and of his favor. It's all there for us, and we can stand firmly in that. And then we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. One day, we are going to be glorified together with Jesus Christ. One day, we are going to shed these bodies, these corruptible bodies, and we are going to inherit that incorruptible body. We're going to heaven. We're going to ultimately be there eternally with the Lord. And these are the things that Paul says are the blessings or the benefits of those who have been justified by faith. But then he says this, he says, but not only that. Now we can, of course, understand the wonder of these things that he's been talking about, and the thrill of it, to know that we have peace with God, to know that we have access to this unlimited grace of God, to know that one day we're going to be glorified, we're ultimately going to heaven. All of that thrills us, but Paul is a realist. And Paul knows from his own experience that just because we are Christians, it doesn't mean that we are exempt from trouble. But then he tells us something that we all need to understand. He says, not only do we rejoice in these things that are obviously a cause for rejoicing, but we can also glory, or it's the same word, rejoice in tribulation. We can rejoice in tribulation. Now, in case you haven't noticed, Christians go through difficult times. Just because we are believers in Jesus Christ does not mean that we are exempt from trouble. The Christian life can be very difficult at times, and anyone who tells you otherwise isn't really being honest. And anyone who preaches a prosperity type of a gospel is not preaching the truth, basically. Jesus himself, he told us, in the world you will have tribulation. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have difficulty. This word tribulation implies oppressions, afflictions, persecutions, pressures, difficulties, distresses, troubles. Jesus said, in the world, you are going to experience these things. And Jesus wasn't the only one who said it. This is the message that's consistently communicated throughout the pages of the New Testament. Paul and Barnabas reminded the saints in Lystra. They said, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, said, to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's been granted to you, he says, to suffer for Christ's sake. And then to the Thessalonians, he said, no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you know that we are appointed to these things. We are appointed to these things. Now, this goes against the grain of our humanity, and I think especially in the culture, in the society that we have been raised in. You see, we live in the most comfortable society in the world. We live in a society that has intentionally sought to eliminate difficulties, troubles, those kinds of things, and make life as pleasurable and as easy as possible. That has been an objective of us as a culture, as a people, to rid ourselves of problems and to live as comfortably as we can. But even though we have attempted to do that, and even though we've succeeded to some degree, trouble, of course, will still find us. Trouble will come. The question is this: how do we, who have been justified by faith, how do we respond to these things? Well, again, we notice Paul says we rejoice in tribulation. Now, let's understand what he's saying here. He's not saying, which we could easily believe that he was saying, he's not saying we rejoice in spite of the tribulation. Sometimes we sort of look at it like that. Well, I know this is difficult, and I know that this is a horrible thing, but you know, in spite of that, I'm going to keep rejoicing. Although there might be some legitimacy to that approach, that's not what Paul's saying. Paul's not even saying that we rejoice in the midst of it. Even though I know this isn't a good thing, I'm just going to keep rejoicing anyway, even though that might be understandable and that might be good. What Paul is actually saying is something that is somewhat unthinkable to us. Paul is actually saying that we rejoice on account of the tribulation. It's the tribulation itself that we rejoice in. When we see trouble coming, Paul says, when I see trouble coming, I get excited. I rejoice. Now, what was the matter with Paul? What kind of a person was he? Well, we'll see in a moment. He was a man of faith, and he was a man who understood things that all of us need to understand. But again, it's not just Paul stating that here. We find this stated in other places. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 2, that we are to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. And then as we read in our scripture reading this morning, Paul said, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses. Now, how could anyone really rejoice in tribulation? How could someone say and really mean that they take pleasure in distresses? Now, of course, not everyone could say that. The unbeliever is utterly incapable of rejoicing in tribulation, of rejoicing in the difficulties that come into their lives. Of course, because for the unbeliever, this life is all there is. And if there's something that's messing up this life, that leads to depression and to misery. So not everyone can say that. Only the Christian can rejoice in tribulation. But even for the Christian, rejoicing can only come if there is first understanding. You see, my ability to rejoice, or in order for me to come to a place where the Apostle Paul had come to, I have to know something. And Paul did know something, and that's why he could say what he said. Now, he assumes that we know this, but this is something that we are learning over a process of time. We have to know this. We have to know that tribulations are the tools that God uses to make us into the people that he wants us to be. You see, we have to know that. We have to understand that. And it's only when I know that, it's only when I understand that, that I will then be able, like Paul, to say, not only am I rejoicing in hope of the glory of God, but I'm also rejoicing equally in the trouble that I'm experiencing right here and now. Now, God has given us a threefold assurance that tribulation is working in us his glorious purpose. He's given us a threefold assurance. First of all, he's given us the clear statements of Scripture. Secondly, he's given us the example of the lives of the saints over the years. And then thirdly, he's given us the experience of his love. So let's look at each one of these in order. First of all, looking at the clear statements of Scripture. And again, remember, Paul says knowing this, so he assumes that we know this because, of course, this is what the Scriptures teach us. As I referred to the prosperity movement earlier, the prosperity doctrine is one that is not based in the Scriptures. It is a doctrine that is a twisting of the Scriptures. It's an ignoring of much of the Scriptures and, you know, just centering in and focusing on a few passages. But the overall picture of Scripture is that life is going to be difficult. We are going to have trouble and challenges, but in the midst of it all, God is going to be glorified. And he's working and he's using these things ultimately for our benefit. Let's look at some of these statements. Paul, in writing to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 18, he said this. He said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So Paul says there's suffering in the present time, but there's glory that's coming in the future, and you cannot compare these two things. In writing to the Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. James, we've already referred to part of the verse. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And then Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, listen to what Peter says here. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, all of the New Testament writers, and of course the Old Testament is filled with this as well, they all told us that we were going to have trouble in this world. But Peter would go on later to say, "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you." Now, I have to admit, whenever I go into a trial, whenever I experience tribulation, my first thought is, well, this is strange. Why is this happening? How could this be going on in my life? Lord, I'm your servant. And I'm tempted so often to think it's strange, but Peter says, don't think it strange, because again, these are the very things that God uses to develop us into the people that he wants us to be. You know, this statement that Paul made to the Corinthians when he spoke of our light affliction, which is but for a moment, you know, I have often looked at that and thought, boy, if Paul could describe his troubles as a light affliction, do I have any basis to even consider that I've been afflicted in any way at all? Go back to the 11th chapter and read there some of the things that the great apostle Paul experienced. He tells us there that 5 times he received 39 stripes from the Jews. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. He suffered shipwreck. He spent a night and a day in the deep. And then he goes on to talk about he was in perils of robbers. He was in perils of water. He was in perils from his own countrymen. He talked about being hungry and thirsty and poorly clothed and all of these things. But he puts it under that heading of our light affliction. Just about a year ago, it was last October actually, I was flying to Cape Town, South Africa. And I had flown from L.A. to London, which is, you know, about a 10-hour flight. And then had about a 5-hour layover in London and then headed down to Cape Town, which is about an 11-hour flight. And, you know, so needless to say, after that part of the journey, I was pretty tired and worn out from all of that. And, you know, we got on the flight to Cape Town. And as we were flying down, you have that little sky map thing in front of you there. So it sort of charts your course. And about halfway down the African continent, we hit some turbulence. And it was probably the strongest turbulence that I've ever experienced. And, you know, turbulence usually lasts, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that at the most. Well, this lasted about 5 hours. And I could not believe it. And I happened to be sitting in the very back of the plane. You know, I have like 500,000 air miles. And, of course, you can never use those things when you need them, you know, to upgrade. So I ended up in the back of the plane and, you know, 5 hours just bouncing along. And I suddenly began to feel sick. And you know, I started to get that, you know, sort of faint feeling and kind of feeling hot. And my stomach started getting queasy. And I thought, oh, I can't believe it. I am going to throw up. And I've got people on either side of me, you know. And in my mind, I started crying out to the Lord. But, you know, I started crying out with a bit of an attitude. Lord, what do you think you're doing? I am going on a missions trip for you. I'm not going to Africa as a tourist. I'm going to minister. I'm going to share your word. I'm going, you know, I'm on a mission for you. And as I was going through all of this in my head, suddenly, Paul being shipwrecked popped into my mind, and I said, Lord, forgive me. I take it back, disregard everything I just said. I'll take the bumpy ride. I'll even lose my lunch if that's what I need to do. And just so you know, I didn't end up getting sick. Somebody asked me after first service, so what happened? Did you, you know, that was the main thing that got out of the message. But you know, we have to get it in perspective. And the clear statements of Scripture tell us that we're going to suffer. But in comparison with what's coming in the future, Paul says there is no comparison. It's a light affliction in comparison. And it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We have the clear statements of Scripture. We also have the lives of the saints. And really, as you read through the Word of God, this is what you discover. You discover that God's servants, God's people, throughout the ages, they've suffered. They've gone through trouble. They've gone through difficulty. Of course, Job is the classic example of suffering. And we think of all that Job went through, and, you know, sometimes it's even a bit frightening to read the book of Job. You read that and you think, oh, Lord, please, I don't think I could handle that sort of a thing. All that he went through, and the loss of his goods and the loss of his family and the loss of his health and all of those horrible things. But the amazing thing about the story of Job is when we come to the end of it and God finally reveals himself to Job, Job makes an amazing statement. He says to God, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. And he said, and I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. You see, what Job was saying is, I spoke too soon. I had those hard feelings and yet I didn't even know what I was thinking. Oh, I repent in dust and ashes, because now that I see you, it's all okay. You see, once Job got his perspective right, once he saw that God was with him and that God allowed this, but God was working out something, it answered all of his questions. We find that with Job. We think of Joseph was actually, you know, in effect, the ruler of the known world in his day, the ruler of Egypt, second under Pharaoh only. But we think of all the trouble that preceded that exaltation. We think of being betrayed by his brothers, being sold into slavery, and how he was disappointed over and over. And 13 long years passed before Joseph was delivered from that situation and brought into a place of blessing. Joseph would later name one of his sons Ephraim. And you know what Ephraim means? It means fruitful. And he named his son Fruitful because he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, remembering that all we need is Jesus. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Rejoicing in Tribulation, and the resource number is OBB466. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.